This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! Edition of the High Hopes Podcast. It is our perfect off-season edition, the edition that we look forward to the most. And Jack, Dave Dombrowski scooped me. He couldn't wait an hour and a half to sign Archie Bradley so that I had my perfect off-season out there. And I said, sign Archie Bradley. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, they signed your guy. Thanks, Dave.
Well, I think what it does confirm is that you and Dave Dombrowski are friends. Did you leak your perfect offseason to Dave this afternoon?
Yeah, I did. And Dave's just going point by point, so
listen,
get ready.
And I'm sure he's upset with us that we did not record this earlier so we can give him a nice little blueprint. I mean, I know because – I mean, for the last, what, year and a half, he's been on the Nashville thing, so he hasn't really been paying attention to the sport. He was probably waiting. He's probably been waiting with bated breath for this podcast. And honestly, we were late to it. You know,
our fault. To be fair, we wanted to do it last week, yeah. And then you know the world exploded, and then you know the week before something else happened. Doug Peterson got fired. Like,
yeah, and
we couldn't get a break with this.
And I don't want to say that. I don't want to go too inside our podcast here. But we knew. I mean, here's in our defense. This is where we'll go in our defense. If Doug Peterson did not get fired on Monday, then we would have had the perfect offseason for Dave to write down in his notes by then. So, if so facto, Archie Bradley's an official High Hopes position of assigning.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, this was done prior. Like, we were recording. We were really recording last week, and then we were definitely 100% recording Monday night, to the point where, a little inside baseball, one of my favorite things that Jack does is he'll tweet out that the pod is coming out that night as a way to lock us in. Like, as a way to be like, all right, no messing around. Like, I don't care what you say. Like,
showtime.
This is happening tonight.
Yeah.
It's a little move that I appreciate. Yeah. I like it. It's good. But even then, on Monday, Jack tweeted out, perfect offseason coming tonight, and then Doug Peterson got fired.
Yeah.
So it's not our fault. Blame the Eagles. Blame Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, this is 100% Lurie's fault. Him firing Doug Peterson put the brakes on an Archie Bradley signing. We had to wait till Thursday. But James, like we always said, good things happen on Thursdays.
Always. And let's be real, like, how many times have we said on this podcast, I was going to say it again today, and now I don't need to, luckily, but how many times have we talked about getting Archie Bradley here?
Yeah.
I mean, 15, 20 times at least his name has come up on this podcast as someone to go get.
We even went to the extent of saying, we just recorded, we just got done recording the Archie Bradley's Never Coming Here podcast. So same level as Bryce. And Archie Bradley's here. I would say he's been – you're right. He's been one of our guys. We've been saying, hey, he's a dude. And guess what? Big old Dave brought him here because Dave recognizes talents. Hey, you know what he's doing? You know what he's doing, James? Is he's living up to what he said in his press conference about wanting power arms. He wants power arms, and he brought us a power arm today. I am so fired up. I know it's a I know it's a 1 year deal, and I get it. But dude, if I told you I've loved Archie Bradley since he got drafted, would I be a lying man?
No. In fact, I would be shocked if you did not know Archie Bradley when he got drafted.
Oh, dude, he was the classic big high school righty from Texas that was going to be the next Josh Beckett. Was a bit of a bust. I think I definitely
as a starter.
I definitely owned him as a starter and a guy that I traded for and believed in.
Up and coming young starter, I was very excited about my Archie Bradley shares.
Also, low key. Rakes. I mean, the guy can hit. So if they,
I'm sure I could have thought of it bad.
Well, yeah. with the possible new DH rule, you never know.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It is a good.
And look, you know my line.
He's a human being. He's a human being. He is a human being. Yes, we know your line.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a separate line about separate things. But first of all, this is a great deal, no matter what. But even if it weren't, there's no such thing as a bad 1 year deal. Like, you can never go wrong with a 1 year deal. Archie Bradley for 1 year, $6 million is a steal. Like, I'm so excited about this move. Talking about an actual guy, like, we got a guy, Jack. We got a dude in our bullpen. He's only 28, too. For some reason, I feel like he's 35 by this point. He's only 28. I'm so excited about that. It's sad that and we'll get into it. It's sad that, you know, Mets fans get to be excited about trading for Francisco Lindor, and we get to be excited about signing Archie Bradley. But damn it, I'm excited about signing Archie Bradley, Jack.
Well, and let me be the first to say this: Archie Bradley, Francisco Lindor stopper. You know, you got to factor that stuff in these kind of equations. But yeah, honestly, like, it's just I'm just excited to have an actual guy back there. He had a weird, I want to say, 2019, where he kind of took a step back and kind of started off slow this year. And there's a lot of talk, I remember, around Arizona that he was going to kind of get taken out of the closer's role and whatnot. But I've just always been a believer in that arm. And when and here's why he's here. And I'll tell you exactly why he's here. He's here because of Caleb Cotham. The Reds are shedding money. They don't want to spend money this year. They're like shopping like Moustakas and Eugenio Suarez. So he wasn't going back to the Reds. But the next best thing for Archie Bradley would be going to a guy who helped fix him in Cincinnati, and that would be Caleb Cotham. And that's just why I think he's here. I mean, dude, all right, you ready, James? Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
I was waiting. I've been ready. Yeah.
In 7 2/3 innings with the Reds, he had a 1.17 ERA with a 1.43 opponent's batting average. They've clearly unlocked something there, and Caleb Cotham being here is a massive reason as to why Archie Bradley's here, and that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited.
Yeah, and again, like, just to think of that, and for what it's worth, I just looked it up. Archie Bradley has never faced Francisco Lindor, so that means he is absolutely going to own him. Like, we don't need the stats to know. I'm happy he's never faced him because we know.
Right.
We don't need stats to tell us. We know that he's going to own Francisco Lindor. But just have a guy, like an actual, real, high-level major league bullpen pitcher. I mean, what a ridiculous thought, Jack.
He allowed.
What a ridiculous thought. Like a real guy, a dude in your bullpen. Like, what a thought.
He allowed one earned run with the Reds last year. One earned run. It was on a home run, too. So, like, doesn't even count. Home runs don't count.
Yeah, it was one bad pitch.
He hung one pitch.
And also, like, you know, as you said, like, had some struggles a little bit in 2019, but really, for the most part, has been a dominant reliever since 2016. Like, dominant.
Yeah,
know?
James, I know this city does not like to harp on athletes' performances in 2017. That's not what this city is known for.
As we say goodbye to Doug.
and possibly the quarterback. But, Archie Bradley's 2017 was a 1.73 ERA. Feed me. A 2.73 ERA plus. Come to home. Archie!
I love the name Archie, too. Great baseball name.
I think we're probably a little too excited about Archie Bradley, but I'm here for it.
Well, the problem is we don't have anything else to be excited about. Again, the Mets are trading for Francisco Lindor. My favorite player in the league. But
yeah, that's gotta hurt, buddy. I'm sorry.
Get the junk, man.
So are you,
what a likable guy too. It's more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the most likable dude in the sport. It's such a bummer. His nickname's Mr. Smile.
Right.
That's his freaking nickname, man.
And he's far and away the most talented shortstop to ever set foot in New York City.
He's they're gonna say in baseball. Yeah, sure. Look, he's about 1,000 times the defender that Derek Jeter was.
Yeah, he wasn't a fraud who couldn't
get more power than Derek Jeter. Facts, even though he's like half his size. And he's clearly better than Jeter, right?
It's not even a debate. It's really not. Now, are you rooting? Now, is this going to cause you to root against Francisco Lindor?
Yeah, I mean, it has to. Like,
right.
He's a Met, man. Like, it is what it is. I hate them deep in my soul.
Right.
So, yeah, on some level it will, but I can't hate Francisco Lindor. I'm not going to have that, you know, good old-fashioned sports hate. I can't do that.
Yeah, he's one guy that you could. It's going to be impossible not to love him.
It's going to be so tough. No,
at least he won't be here for the next 13 years or 12 years.
God, yeah.
Like, oh, dude, at least we don't have to deal with. Dude, you know what sucks is that we got to deal with him. Alonso, he might be a little bit of a fraud, but we got to deal with Alonso, Lindor, Freeman, Acuna, Soto, Trey Turner. Like, it's just dudes all over the place. And it's just, you know, I don't want to think about it. But at least we have Archie Bradley here to shut them down late innings to pair with Jose Alvarado.
All right. So let's get there. And we'll get to our perfect offseason in a few, even though, you know, we already have kind of done it a little bit because Archie Bradley was on my perfect offseason.
And I did not forget that Archie Bradley existed I totally had him on my perfect offseason, too.
Yeah, we'll go with that. He was on here. We'll go with that.
Yes.
Did you know his name's actually Archie, too?
It's not
Archie.
It's not
Archibald or any of that stuff. Archie.
Yeah, Archie's a strong name.
I like that.
Yeah,
I think it's bad. I mean, if he was an Archibald, I would.
Yeah.
A little concerned.
No,
right,
he was Archibald. He was Archibald as a starter, and as a relief pitcher, he's Archie.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Are you too young for Archie? I know they have the Riverdale thing now, but you don't remember like the Archie comics, right? Like Jughead and
literally never heard of it in my life. So
okay.
Yes, I would say I'm too young for it.
Okay. Whenever I hear the name Archie, that's what I think about, and I guarantee you at least some of our listeners feel the same way. All right, before we get to our perfect offseason, you mentioned it, Alvarado. I want to talk about some of the moves, or the couple moves the Phillies made prior to Bradley, and then some rumors, and then we'll get into the perfect offseason. But what did you think about the trade? Look, that was it's been a while since we spoke, and that was kind of it was the first official move of the Dave Dombrowski era, trading away essentially a three-team deal, but trading Garrett Clevenger essentially for Alvarado. Where do you come down on him? Where do you come down the move and your feeling on it all?
So it's really, for me, it was an all upside, no real downside trade. I mean, Clevenger, I think, could be good. You kind of hope he's as good as Jose Alvarado. And also Jose Alvarado is a year younger than him, which is nuts, because I feel like he's been
around. That is surprising.
He's been around for a couple of years, but my concern obviously is the health. I mean, I don't know how healthy he is shoulder wise. You know, it seems like it might be heading towards a blow up, but like you get 99 turbo sinker to give the Caleb Gotham to work with. It's a no-brainer deal. It's a no-brainer deal. And everyone's freaking out about like the Rays giving up on him and that you don't never make a trade with the Rays. Well, ultimately the Rays, they don't want to pay the guy, and they're such a factory down there anyway.
They don't need him.
Right.
They don't need him.
Right.
I mean, they just pump those guys out. That's the a little tease for the perfect offseason. I was trying to go through and look at like trades for relievers, because spoiler alert, relievers will, as Archie Bradley was one of them, will be a big part of my offseason. This is, you know, kind of neat to me. But like I was looking for trades, and I looked at that Rays bullpen, and it's like, I want to trade for everyone in it.
Yeah.
Like Fairbanks and Anderson. And it's just like guy after guy after guy. They're all studs.
Right. Exactly. And they're so loaded that they don't even need Jose Alvarado.
That's the point. They don't need him. They really don't. Like,
yeah.
It's wild, man.
Yeah. So for me, it's just a total win-win. If he's great, great. If he's not, like, you're paying him $1 million and you trade away a guy that is older than him and not even and barely even sniffed the majors at this point. But on the upside side, like, you're getting a 99 turbo sinker with a pretty good slide piece, all that stuff. I mean, his stuff is legitimately wipeout. I mean, he's striking out. He averages a 10.9 strikeouts per nine. Like, that's elite stuff in the back of the bullpen. And they're just slowly making this thing better, and they're finally going after power arms. I mean, how long were we sitting here as, like, the Phillies are just bringing in, like, Nick Vinson, who I know is, like, whatever, had a pretty good year, but there was, like, 89 miles an hour. It's like, can we just stop messing around with this bull and get some guys who throw Chet in here? Like, can we just get guys that throw
literally,
shit?
Literally, just Google Jose Alvarado pitching ninja see. I mean, it's just like, there's some pitches in there where you're like, he has one pitch, and it's the one where I can't even describe it. It's the one where it kind of just falls off the table against the lefty inside, and the sinker just disappears and kind of almost hits him in the back leg, and it starts out right over the plate, and the guy's swinging over the plate, where it's like, I've never seen a pitch move like that in my life. Like, it's please, if you do not know what Jose Alvarado is, Jose Alvarado pitching ninja. That's all you need to put in, and you'll be like, okay, like, we got something. There's something here. Yeah. You know how they work it out, what Cotton does with all that, like the shoulder issue, but like, this is something.
Right. So yeah, again, it was a high upside, low risk move, and it was a good start to the Dave Dombrowski era.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was a nice little move. His next move, less in on?
Not pumped. Not pumped.
Like, okay, so we'll stick to the baseball stuff. Well, as a human being, this guy seems like a total dink. Like just the worst guy. But we'll stick to the baseball stuff.
Just
that's a separate issue.
Not a fan of the dude, but yeah.
Not a fan of Coonrod. Right. I can't even remember his first name.
Same.
really good. I really good. I wrote down Coonrod. I was like, oh. All right. Trading Ragsdale for Carson him, who, if I'm not mistaken, you once called the next Dylan Betances. I'm guessing you're not a huge fan.
No. Carson, in my mind, Carson Ragsdale's the best Carson in the city.
Buddy.
And yeah,
You know what though? He might be.
I'm pretty upset about it. Because I think Carson Ragsdale is gonna be really, really good. And like, he was a perfect guy to give to the player development guys. I bet they could have got him up to 100 miles an hour on this fastball. And you know, it's very hard for me to separate what I saw against the Florida Gators last year, where he struck out 10 Gators in four innings. And the Gators at that point were undefeated and the best team in the country. So for him, from a little South Florida, to go in and do that against the Florida Gators was impressive to me. And I just think I don't really see the upside to it. I think Coonrod has some stuff. I think he could be decent. He throws hard, which is nice.
He throws very, very hard.
Right, and believe me and you both love power arms.
Like, I'm not gonna get mad about power arms.
But why did you have to trade him? Like, why?
I know
you couldn't have traded like Gunnar Mayer or whatever.
He sucked last year. Like, you would think that, like, you would have thought you could have gotten this guy for less.
Yeah,
you would have, like, this is the kind of guy who gets traded for a player we name later, who ends up being nothing. You know what I mean? It's not like you gave up like a dude. Yeah. Like, it's your fourth round pick. Yeah. Like, it just. It feels like they gave up way more than they needed to for this specific guy.
Yeah, and trading with Farhan scares me. I know I just got off talking about the Rays and how they, you know, trade with them. You shouldn't be that afraid because of the Alvarado trade, but it's different in this sense.
And just to clarify, you should be afraid of trading with the Rays. This was just a specific situation where the Rays had way too many bullpen guys and had a surplus, and thus it was trading with the Rays because they're smart and they're saying, all right, we have a surplus. Let's use this and get someone for down the road when we need another guy or whatever. But regardless, they had a surplus. It's not like you're, like, psyched to trade with the Rays.
No, definitely not. Carson Ragsdale, I just think he's the kind of arm that I want to keep around and develop, and I think he's going to develop into a good. The Giants are going to try to train him as a starter. I don't know if he's a starter. I think he more could be an elite bullpen weapon, but I don't really see the upside to it. The upside is probably the power arm. You can figure it out and may throw a slider a little bit more. His problem is that he throws 96, right? 96, 97, can get it up to 98, 99. But then his changeup's like 89 miles an hour. So even if they're a little bit out in front, like you saw it on the It was the Trent Grisham home run to end the Phillies season from the Padres. Like, he threw an 89-mile-an-hour changeup, and the guy was able to keep, or he was able to keep his barrel on it and get through and not be too fooled by it. If he can get that down to, like, 86, I mean, you have a real 10-mile-an-hour difference, which is what you want on your changeup. So, I don't know. He has stuff. I get it. You want to buy into the stuff. I just don't like the idea of trading Carson Ragsdale.
Yeah, that's where I come down to. Like, again, I think it was one of the hardest throws in baseball, if I'm not mistaken, last year. Like Coonrod, clearly there is something there, and it's the kind of thing where I do believe that that guy, what he has put with the right pitching coach and in the right situation, can be a quality major league reliever. But it just feels like you could have gotten a better guy for Carson Ragsdale is the point. You know, the yes. asset that Ragsdale is, you could have gotten a better guy and certainly a better guy in both fronts.
Yeah. Yeah.
A better guy off the field and on the field.
That's right.
All right, so you could have done better. I mean, Coonrod had like a 9 ERA yeah. last year. Like, he was horrible last year.
It should not have cost an asset.
It's the kind of guy you think gets waived and you sign off the – like, it shouldn't have cost an asset.
Yes.
I think that's the perfect way to put it. All right, quickly before we get to the perfect offseason, the last – no other, like, Phillies moves, so to speak, but they've been connected to some people. Free agent-wise, Anibal Sanchez has been mentioned. I think we could both say, like
– super.
You know, we don't curse on this podcast, but bleep that. It is my general, you know, feeling on that. Like,
dude, he pitched for Dombrowski in like 2010.
Yes, he's back with those like Verlander and Scherzer. It was like, oh, an Anibal. He's the other guy.
I know. He used to be nasty.
Dude, he threw a no hitter. I mean, he was a great pitcher
yeah.
for a while.
I always felt like Ryan Howard owned him when he was on the Marlins.
I always felt like if it weren't for injuries, Anibal Sanchez would have been like a multiple time All-Star. Like, he was a really good player who had some injuries and it kind of didn't work out. But he's 37.
Right.
What are we doing here?
And I'm
what
pretty sure I don't know if he can even hit 90 anymore. But it is.
I sure can.
It is funny. It is funny because I think last real memory outside of him like throwing a shutout against the Phillies last year, which was infuriating. But remember, he had like a no hitter until like the seventh in like the NLCS in 2019. Like, just so.
And he did throw a no hitter with the Marlins back in the day. He's come close a few times. He's one of those guys who's like, you know, decent, average, bad, depending on the year, but always seems to have days where he has no hit stuff.
Yeah, like Moyer, like late career Moyer.
Well, like Arrieta is a kind of example, like where at the very end, but like remember that Pittsburgh start we've talked about it so many times. That Pittsburgh start in his first year, it was like, oh, like he could throw a no hitter today. Like his stuff is that nasty, and then you never see it again.
No,
but it seemed like Sanchez had that kind of thing.
I did not see much no hit stuff from Jakey.
Just that first year. And I was talking about more like in Chicago and prior, before he got really good, you could still see the flashes and all that.
Yeah, my favorite era of not my favorite era of Phillies baseball, but I love the random start where Moyer would flirt with a no hitter for like six innings and he'd be throwing like 82 miles an hour. It was awesome. I missed
awesome.
Those days. But
me
yes,
too.
Anibal Sanchez, like, sure, he'll take down 1,000 innings and he won't get hurt. But
it's just like, what the f*** is the point? Excuse me. You've got your editing.
There
what is the point? I can't help the curses. I can't fly back. What is the point of it? Like, it's just, it's such a waste. Like, all right, so, like, and we're going to a perfect offseason where we kind of lay this out more.
Is Anibal Sanchez in your perfect offseason?
No, and that's the point. I think we feel very good about Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, Howard, like those guys are in my rotation for 2021.
Right.
And obviously Velasquez is back and all, whatever you want to do. But like I think we both, and I'm sure we will both in our perfect offseason, add a fifth starter, like add a guy who we think is that perfect guy to kind of fit in there and be a three or four, however we decide to shake it out.
Yeah.
Anibal Sanchez is not that guy. Anibal Sanchez is not that guy.
Yeah, no, he's not that guy. He's definitively. It reminds me a lot of like when they signed Aaron Harang. Remember that?
Sure, of course I do.
Awful, yes. Just an awful period of Phillies baseball.
Just horrible. Actually.
Yeah, like, no, definitively no interest in Anibal Sanchez.
You're agreed.
Give me a guy with upside. Like, and that's what we always say.
At
like
least a guy, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Thank
at least
you.
Where there's a timeline that I could see where that guy overachieves.
Yes.
Because there's no timeline where Anibal Sanchez overachieves. All right. The other two names that have been connected, one through free agency and one through trade, and then we'll dive into our perfect offseason. Andrew Benintendi, over the last week, really last couple of days, there's been some interesting connections to the Phillies. Obviously, Dombrowski was in Boston with him. And then Marcus Semien, as a free agent, has been connected to the Phillies. What are your thoughts on both of those guys and both of those potential moves?
Wait, hold on. What's the second move?
Marcus Semien.
Oh, right. Sorry. You're missing the latest news there, buddy, if we're talking about free agent shortstops. I mean, they're linked to Freddie.
Well, I saw the Scott Lauber piece. I love Scott. He does a great job. I purposefully refuse to mention Freddie on this.
Freddie! Podcast. Come on, man. He's a Gold Glover.
Yeah, let's bring, what else is in the beast? Cole Hamels and Jay Happ? Let's
Freddie.
Go. Sounds awesome.
Freddie! All he does is win, even though they never even came close to winning here. And Pete McCannon batting him in the two hole. Awful. Freddie Galvis, get out of here. But he actually wouldn't be the worst stopgap shortstop. Anyway, so Benintendi, here's my thing on Benintendi. I have long, like, when he got drafted, I loved Benintendi. Like, he was my guy. And if you remember, James, you brought me on before we did this podcast. I think it's when I started at WIP after the Haisley draft. And I said my comp for Adam Haisley was Andrew Benintendi.
Yes, I remember this.
Right,
yes.
That's how this whole chemistry thing started between you and I. I know he's overrated. And let me just fully say this, that I know he's overrated. I know he's not as good as a lot of people think he is or as good as his pedigree is. But I love Andrew Benintendi. I have always loved Andrew Benintendi. I will always believe in that bat. I will always think that he is a 300 hitter with 20 plus homers. Like, that's what I think Andrew Benintendi is, and he's only 26 years old. I would, the rumored deal, I would 1,000% do. Listen, Moniak's my guy. I like Mickey Moniak a lot. But you hope he's Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah,
I just love the player. I love the bat. The AAA arm is not worrying me at all. It's a little concerning that he'd only be.
Yeah, we had Rhys Hoskins playing left field. We're cool.
Right. It's a little concerning. He'd only be traded for that much.
I was actually shocked. Those rumors, like Moniak and a AAA arm, is like, what?
Yeah, and
like,
I had heard
that's nothing. That is giving him away, especially with Chaim at the helm. It feels,
yeah,
you know,
maybe he doesn't know what he's.
I'm like, what's going on? Is Andrew Benintendi like secretly a piece of crap? Like, what is going on here? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird, and it seems like since they leaked that out, the interest has kind of gone up on him a little bit. So I'd be surprised if they can get him for that kind of deal anyway. But listen, I love the player, I love the bats. I think the bat can come back. I know he had a bad year last year, and he hasn't totally lived up to that hype. But I'm willing to take a chance on Benintendi bouncing back here, especially with the short porch in right field, and ultimately, like, I don't think Kutch can play left field every day, and I think we need to start getting that in our heads. Like, Kutch is not an everyday left fielder anymore. He's coming off the ACL, didn't fully recover. You hope he can get back out there, but I'm not banking on him getting back out there. So if you can have Kutch be the DH on some days play left. Benintendi plays center when he's not playing left. I know he's a bad center fielder. I get it, but he is pretty good in left field. So I will have that. And then next year, you know, left field can kind of be Benintendi's. I think it's a pure upside move, and ultimately. This is one of those ones where you gotta kind of trust Dombrowski that he knows the player.
Yeah, he knows the guy.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So, and he was his first draft pick, I'm pretty sure, because it was.
Yep.
Drafted.
He was in Boston.
He was drafted in 16. No, he was drafted. He was drafted in 15, so he was not there. Actually, no, it would have been his first draft because
it would have been his first draft, right?
I think so. Either way, knows the player better than we know him. Knows when he won a World Series with him in Boston. His catch against the Astros is still one of the coolest baseball moments of the last 10 years. And I just love the player, and I would 100% do that deal. Would bring me Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, and not even that. Like, I love, you mentioned it, but I love the compensation. I mean, getting a Major League Baseball player, an average, and Benintendi has the chance to be more. Like, getting an average Major League Baseball player for Moniak and AAA arm is a win. I mean, I like Moniak too, but let's be real.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds are he's not going to be a average to good Major League Baseball player. Like, odds are, you know, we hope, but odds are, and Benintendi is that. And he's a guy who's won a World Series. He's a guy who, I think, moving to the National League, I think that's a benefit for him. I just, I don't know. I'm with you. I think Compton, I'm not a huge Andrew Benintendi fan. Like you said, he's one of those guys who's always kind of just been slightly overrated. And at first he was way overrated. You know, when he came up, people thought he was like a star, and he's clearly not that. But he's always just kind of had a slight overration to him. And I feel like that's kind of almost gone so far the other way where people are like, oh, he's overrated, he's overrated, he's overrated. He's not the guy that people thought he was going to be, that he's actually kind of underrated now. He's a solid baseball player.
So overrated, you know? So overrated that he's now underrated.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes.
And honestly, I think what people are listening to right now, and let me tell me if you agree with me. What people are listening to right now is two people that have bought into him in fantasy in those breakout years that were supposed to happen.
Oh, this guy's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
Was not.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. That was I bought into the Benintendi hype a couple times. Yes.
Well, he was supposed to be that, but he's a good baseball player. He's a good baseball player. A nice lefty bat. Like, I like the idea of it. And forgetting that if you're just giving up Moniak and said AAA arm, which we know the Phillies, there aren't any AAA arms you feel like that worried about giving up.
No,
I feel really good about that. Like if Dombrowski can pull this off, that would be a real. And again, to your point, like maybe the most key point of all, nobody knows him better in terms of people who'll be trading for him than Dave Dombrowski. Like that guy knows him.
Yep.
So I do think there's real value to that. It makes a lot of sense. All right, is it time? Lindor trade. Any quick thoughts on the Lindor trade outside of it being devastating?
We talked about the Lindor trade.
So we're good. All right, we're good. I just had it on my list.
Well, before the Semien thing.
Semien, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Semien. If Semien takes a one-year deal, sure. I don't like the idea of multi-years for Marcus Semien. I think he's a good player, not a great player. And ultimately, like, here's my whole philosophy. Is one-year deal, great. I'll take him. Anything more than that, I don't want to miss out on next year's shortstop class, and I don't want to miss out on next year's shortstop class with Bryson Stott ready to come up and probably be the shortstop if he's not moved. So like, I just want to stopgap there, and that's why Freddie makes a lot of sense. That's why Andrelton Simmons makes a lot of sense. If Semien wants to take a one-year deal, I'm in, but my priority is simply a stopgap shortstop.
Yeah, and Semien's not taking a one-year deal, most likely.
Most likely not, yes.
But I'm with you. I think Semien's one of those guys who's a very good player, but not quite as good as the market thinks he will be, kind of thing. He's a nice player, like a really nice player, and I think he's been in a good spot out in Oakland. They've gotten the most out of him. I've just never been blown away by Marcus Semien. Like, I like him. He's a nice player, but I'm kind of with you there. I think he's going to get more money than – And look, who knows? This offseason is weird. A lot of these deals have – at least we haven't seen any of the big-time guys sign yet, so we don't really know what that market is. We all thought coming into the offseason that it was going to be a depressed market. It certainly feels like from what people are talking about, it's going to be a slightly depressed market, and it could be even more than that. So, you know, with that in mind, it makes it a little harder to kind of judge those signings and the value and stuff and see kind of what's – You know, what a guy, like, I think Marcus Semien will probably get less than what he expected to, but it's still going to be more than what I would want to get, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I am in total agreement with you, and I think it's time.
It's time. All right, let's do it. Perkins, perfect offseason. Waiting a long time. We've talked about this pod for over a month now, and very excited. I mean, Jack, to the point where he tweeted out the picture of his computer with the My Perfect Offseason.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so just go.
So
for those who've never listened to us do a perfect offseason, Jack is way more creative, way more inventive with his offseason. Trades, this, that. Mine is much more down the middle.
Classic James, not having a strong take either way. I got you. I got you, man.
I'm the one who had Archie Bradley on his list.
Yeah.
All right, big dog.
So did I.
I'm one for one so far.
You can't prove that I did not have Archie Bradley on my perfect offseason. Now I will say, and this is me and you, we never lie to High Hopes listeners.
Never.
We both kind of toned down our perfect offseason given the circumstances with our baseball team.
Yeah, we wanted it to be a perfect, realistic.
Yeah, it's off-season. Like this is our perfect 2020 offseason, right?
I mean, like, of course, like sign JT and sign George Springer and sign Trevor Bauer. Like, yeah, that's a perfect offseason, but you know, come on. Like, we know that's not gonna happen. We're trying to be real here.
Right, exactly. So from that standpoint, here is my perfect offseason. And Dave, write this down. The first.
You're right. Hold on, Dave. You got a pen. I know you're not a computer guy. You're an IT guy. Get your pen ready. You got a piece of paper. I just want to make sure he's ready. You ready? We're good? Okay. Jack, the floor is yours.
All right. My first move, James. Tell me if you like it. Tell me if you don't like it. I'm signing JT to a 5-year, $110 million deal.
Yep. And guess what? Same first move. It's the only move. Like, yeah. It's the move of the offseason. We talked about it all last season. Literally, it was a thing the entire season. It's been a thing since. Sign JT, okay? Just sign the guy.
Yes, that is the official position. And sign JT and then build around him rather than sign a bunch of stopgaps in hopes for next year being better. That's the at least that's my official position. My next move is I'm signing Andrew Alton Simmons to a one year, $10 million deal.
Oh, man. Didi Gregorius is just crying.
Again,
sad.
I think.
He said, I thought Jack loved me. And he spoke so glowingly of me this year, my 1 year in Philly, but I guess not.
And Didi, if you're listening, love you. I hope you get multi-years elsewhere. I'm only interested in 1 year. And Didi, I will say this, if you want to sign a one-year deal, come on back.
Maybe he'll be signing a 1 year deal. My perfect offseason.
Ah, okay. Good tease there. Here's my first eye opener, okay? I am trading Adam Haseley to the Pirates for Chad Kuhl.
Wow. When you said Pirates, I was expecting another name, and I love Chad Kuhl. I'm not ripping the name, but I was expecting a name that you've brought up on this podcast. I don't know, like 8,000 times over the last couple months.
I know. And I was trying to concoct in my head the Joe Musgrove trade.
And I
just didn't know how to work it because I love Francisco Morales. I don't want to give him up. I don't want to trade Bryson Stott for him. So I took the next best thing and got Chad Sliders Cool. Just nasty stuff. Also into Delaware. And I just think it's funny. And this is just me. Whatever, but like Chad Kuhl pitched at Delaware, and the amount of times I've pitched at Delaware and the amount of times that I've had Delaware when I was, you know, being recruited, like they have like semi interested in me, not obviously not enough to offer me, but just in thinking that Chad Kuhl and I could have been on the same team, I don't know, there's something that's special about that for me. So I want to bring Chad Kuhl here because I just think he is freaking nasty, man. And I would love to get him out of Pittsburgh. I would love to get him with Caleb Cotham because I think you could get a legitimate stud there. And guess what? If he's not a starter, I think you'd be a stud in the bullpen. And Adam Haseley, fine. It's whatever. But it makes up for this next move because I'm trading Moniak and David Parkinson for Andrew Benintendi. Bring him here. And because ultimately, I hope Haseley and Moniak turn into Benintendi. So why not get the guy here, right?
Yeah, I'm in. I said I was in on the move. I'm in.
All right, so we'll keep going. Here's my other eye opener, and this is strictly for the baseball nerds, and I'm not even sure you know him.
Ooh, I love a good. I'm not even sure you know.
I'm trading Adonis Medina and Jalen Ortiz for Taylor Widener, who is on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Are you aware of the work of Taylor Widener?
I am. Not
okay.
Deep cut. You real quick though. Medina and Ortiz's value that low.
Well, it's not that low. I think that's what it would have to take to get him. He was a top five prospect for the Diamondbacks before they brought him up last year. And honestly, just looking at his stuff, if I was the Diamondbacks, I wouldn't trade him. The reason why I love Widener is it's 97. It's a 97 mile an hour fastball with legitimate rise to it. It has some giddy up, and I just think he's nasty, and I think he's a year away from being in the conversation amongst the best relievers in the sport. They were starting him a good amount last year. I think he eventually becomes a bullpen guy, but if you go look, if you type in like Twitter, like Taylor Widener, like video or whatever, the fastball, it looks like it rises like 2 inches on a 97 mile an hour fastball, hard to square up. Absolutely love him. And yes, it'd be a heavy prospect price to get him, but I think you're looking at a multi-inning weapon for the Phillies for I mean, he's I think 3 or 4 more years until he hits free agency. So it costs a good amount to get him, and just love him. Just love him.
This is me trying to that volume was me trying to watch Taylor Widener clips.
Yeah.
And I was trying to fast forward and I hit the thing and unmuted it.
Well, what do you think? I mean,
pretty nasty so far.
Yeah, it's stupid, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so I think it would cost a good amount of prospects to get him prime away for that value. So
I think you might be able to get him cheaper. But
really?
I don't know.
All right.
Again, I don't know.
That's my deep cut trade for the disease ones out there. I'm signing Brett Gardner to a 1-year $3 million deal.
Whoa, are you getting Girardi as boy?
Oh, I'm bringing Brett here. Be a fan.
Oh, Brett and Girardi, let's go.
And then had this one locked in from day one. Archie Bradley, 1 year, $6 million. glad to see that one work out. I'm signing Corey Kluber to a one. No, actually, wow. I lied. Corey Kluber or James Paxton to a 1 year, $10 million deal.
Wow, you think? Oh, I think Kluber. That's possible. I think Paxton gets more than that.
Really?
I think there's still enough people who are in on James Paxton.
His MLB.
We're a year removed from him being a legit guy. You know.
Did Zoe in the background just look up Taylor Widener videos? Is that what? Is that what I heard?
She didn't need to.
Yeah.
She's been watching Widener video for a while.
I know. I know. That's right. So Kluber, just from what I've heard, looks really.
Apparently, looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like apparently, he looks really good.
Yeah. So I take a chance on Kluber. Listen, honestly, I'm signing one of these guys to be my fifth starter, and if it's Klubot or James Paxton, I'll take it. Now you say about Paxton not getting or getting maybe multi years. To be fair, his MLB trade rumors thing, where they dish out who they think signs and for what money, was 1 year, $10 million.
Really, I would do that in a millisecond.
Yeah,
I had it. Yeah, I'll get to mine. But if James Paxton is really going for that type of deal, then I'm adjusting my list. He is my top target to be the he'd be the fourth starter, third starter, whatever he ends up being.
Right.
But like in a second, like yes, please. A billion times out of a billion, that is an ultimate no-brainer. In the National League, too, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. So
lefty starter?
Right. I really, really like it. So, and Archie Bradley just tweeted out the Rocky gift, so I might be all in on Archie. All right, so, and my final move. My final move here is I am trading Mauricio Olivero to Boston for Nick Pivetta, bringing him home. I'm just kidding. Everyone relax. So that gives my opening day 25 man roster. JT at catcher, Boehm at first base because I don't think Hoskins is gonna be totally ready yet. Kingery at second. Andrew Alton Simmons at shortstop. Gene Segura at third. Cutchin left. Benintendi in center. Harper in right. Starting staff of Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, Howard, Paxton/Kluber. Bullpen of Cool, Alvarado, Coonrod, Neris, Widener, Brogdon, Romero, Vinny V, and Archie Bradley, with a bench of Andrew Knapp, Roman Quinn, Ronald Torres, and Brett Gardner.
Okay. So for my team, there's a very clear theme that I'm really trying to fix the Phillies' biggest problem. We all know what that is. But I'll start with the other stuff, and then we'll get to the pen, as I'm completely remaking the moment. But I, too, had JT Romito return to the Phillies. I didn't put a number to it, but if they can do 5 for $110, that's a steal. I think it's going to depend on what this market is, obviously, how this all plays out. If they get 5 for $110, that's a heroic signing by Dave Dombrowski. I'd go up to 5, $130 range or whatever. But either way, I'm bringing Romito back, and I think a 5-year deal feels like the right look. If I can get him, let's put it this way. I'd rather give him 4 for $110 than 5 for $130 type of thing if I can. But if you can get 5 for $110 or 4 for $100 or something like that, I'm doing that in a second. All right, shortstop, Didi Gregorius on a 1-year deal. Look, like you said, that might not be possible. But when you look at the shortstop market, particularly with Semien, who is just garnering more support or more interest than Gregorius, I think it, even if it's a 2-year deal, like, I'm all right. I agree with the concept. A big theme of my offseason is 1-year deals, because I am so with you on this. And the way this team is structured right now, it's kind of a year-by-year proposition. But I think 1 or 2 years for Didi. If I give Didi 2 years, $28 million, something like that, like, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. I think that's a fair price. Maybe a little – it maybe 1 year for 18 or 2 years for 28. Like, you get a bit of a discount on that if you give him an extra year.
Right.
Either way, I don't think the market is shaking out in a way that Didi's going to get a 3 or 4 year deal. So I feel pretty good at the ability to get Didi back for 1 or 2 years. And I prefer Didi to Andrelton Simmons. I love Andrelton Simmons, the best defensive shortstop since Ozzie, in my legitimate opinion.
When are you going to tell me it's not your legitimate opinion?
I said a legitimate a lot.
Yeah, it felt like in my I'm James MF and Seltzer. You better
give me credit.
You better
Jack,
trust
I'm trying
my
to get my
opinion.
Off-season,
I know,
right?
I know, but it felt like you were qualifying that, and I wanted to know why.
No qualification, all right? I'm allowed to qualify here and there, Jack.
Just wanted to make sure.
The point is, I love Didi, and I thought he really brought something to this team, and he's a really good player outside of that. But just as a, I want him here. I enjoyed having Didi as a Philly, and look, we never lie to the IHOPE listeners, right? Like, we never lie. That's our thing. It's our credo. It's our oath. Like, when I, and towards the end, once I got into it, I just had fun. I enjoyed putting this together, but like the first like hour or so of working on my perfect offseason, like, I was actually more depressed than excited. Because I'm thinking about the Mets and what they're doing. I'm thinking about this and that. And I'm like, the Phillies just aren't going to do what I want them to do. And I'm bummed that they're not going to be at the same level as the other teams. And then I got into it and I started getting exciting. And the point being that if this team is not going to win the World Series, and you never know, but if the World Series is not a real attainable goal this year, then you know what? Screw it. Like, I really like watching Didi Gregorius. I watch his team every night. Like, I want to watch that dude play baseball. So that's kind of where I'm coming from that.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. It's fair, right? All right. So I had signing Jackie Bradley Jr. for center field as my move. I had a 3-year, $40 million deal. I don't know if that'd be enough to get him. It might not. It might. But I would much rather have Benintendi. If we're talking about if it's a one or the other type of thing, I love your idea of trading for Benintendi, when, especially if it's Moniak and a AAA arm, I would do that. But on my offseason, I did have JBJ there. I think, and we talked about it when it was rumored, but I think just putting someone in center field and locking that position down, shutting it down from a defensive perspective, I think really could make a big difference for this team. And he's been good enough offensively. He's streaky and has had some really bad years, but good enough where I think the bump you get from coming to the National League could maybe make him enough of a viable option offensively that I would be willing to give him a solid deal. I worry about multiple years. He's 31. You know, you're not a kid, but I think he's so good defensively that I think there's value there. So I would sign JBJ to not over the top, but a solid, you know, like I said, 340. I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if it's enough, but I think there's a chance it could be.
It feels like to me that Dombrowski's going to get one of these guys.
Exactly. He's going to get one of those guys, one of his guys, so to speak. All right. So now that's all I'm doing offensively. Like, I'm done with the offense. Couple guys I like for, if you maybe can find a potential Gene Segura trade. You know, once Hoskins is ready and moving Bone back to third, Tommy La Stella, maybe a cheap deal.
Love Tommy.
I do too. And he can play second and third. He can play first free in a pinch. Like, he can move around the field. He can play outfield if you need it. Only made $3.5 million last year. So, like, I'm looking at guys who are not super expensive. So I like the idea of Tommy La Stella as a all around the diamond kind of guy. I know we have Kingery, but, you know, we'll see what's going
to happen. This is the year.
It better be. All right. Pitching staff. So I think we both agree they really need one starter. I mean, in reality, you could argue for more, but they really need one starter. I have two routes of going for the starter. I'm giving you two options here. If I'm signing a guy, I'm signing Jake Odorizzi. My worry, and look, if I can get Paxton 1 year 10, 1 year 12, I would choose that over Odorizzi, because I do think Odorizzi will get a couple-year deal. But I think Odorizzi is still undervalued. I know what the projections have been. I don't think he's going to get what SpotTrack and all those people are saying. They said 3 for 39. I don't think he's getting that. I think it's going to be less than that. I think it's going to be less than both years and money. And he's just a solid guy. Like, I think coming to the National League, has spent his whole career in the American League. Coming to the National League, I think Jake Odorizzi is a really nice pitcher. He's a guy you can give the ball. He's only 31. Give the ball to every fifth day and say, all right, that guy's going to stay healthy. He's going to go out and he's going to give me innings. I like the idea that if I can get Paxton for a similar deal, I would do Paxton first. I actually really like that idea. I expected him to go for more money. But I like the idea of Jake Odorizzi. I think he's a good pitcher. He's solid. He's an easy kind of fill-in in that rotation. If I were going to take a flyer, two names that I am – if I know you, Jack Fritz, I'm going to say you're in on both of these names as a potential flyer for a starter, if they don't want to spend Odorizzi or Paxton money. A guy who I'd rather have take the ball every fifth day than Vincent Velasquez, but is absolutely a question mark, absolutely unsure. But if you want to give Garrett Richards or Taijuan Walker a one-year deal, I'm very in on that.
Oh, yeah, baby. Now we're talking.
Garrett Richards has not stayed healthy for more than 2 months.
Don't care.
Career, it seems. But exactly, don't care. Like, I think you can get them cheap, like particularly Richards. I think Richards will come cheaper than Walker. I would give either of those guys a shot. Those guys have stuff. You put them with Cotham, see what can happen. Yeah. I like the idea that if you're not going to sign at Odorizzi or Paxton. All right. Now the real crux of my offseason. And one other guy that I think – I'm sorry. I lied. If you want to trade for a starter, I have three names. Lance Lynn is obviously the top market – top trade –
Well, but he already got traded to the White Sox.
Oh, duh. I'm an idiot. I don't know why underneath. I had that bad job by me.
Oh, what are we doing?
Horrible job here. Sonny Gray was the other name.
I
was
please concerned. Give me
Gotham connection.
Yeah.
2 years, $20 million left on his deal. They're looking to kind of reshape their roster. They've already made some moves.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it. I'm just throwing the name in there. I would also take a flyer on trading for John Gray in Colorado if I can get a good deal on him. I think that dude has stuff, and all he's right. Stuck in Colorado. Has never worked.
Would you trade Stott, Medina, and Haisley?
They're going to be so good. I forgot they got Lance Lynn. God, jeez. Anyway,
would you trade Stott, Medina, and Haisley for Sonny Gray?
Stott, Medina, Haisley, Sonny Gray. No.
Yeah, I don't want to give up Stott, but that's
I don't either. That's the key to it.
Yeah.
But that's probably the type of deal. 2 years, $20 million is very affordable. I don't think you get these guys. I'm just throwing that if you are gonna trade. And the other one, look, a guy they were in on a year and a half ago when he was awesome and has been among the worst pitchers in baseball, get the ball every fifth day since then. Matthew Boyd is still out there, and I still like the stuff. Maybe like a package deal, get him and Joe Jimenez, something like that. Jimenez was awful last year. It was good the year before, a bullpen arm, but just throwing some names out there. But ultimately, if it's me, my offseason, I'm signing Odorizzi if I can get him. If I can't, I'm taking a flyer on Richards or Walker. All right. The crux of my offseason is the bullpen. Look, we said it a million times, and even though we know this team isn't a World Series team, most likely anything can happen, whatever. But like, we're focusing on I want to make the playoffs, man. Like, enough. Enough. We're a decade now. Like, enough of this. Like, let's make the playoffs. Let's compete. Let's put out a team to compete every night. And the team they had last year, as disappointing as it was a bullpen away from being a playoff team. Factually. Like, they were that close.
Yeah.
So my whole offseason is about building the bullpen. I had Archie Bradley. I didn't have 1 year, $6 million. I said Archie Bradley 1 year deal is what I've written down. So one for one. And then look, if it's my choice, I'm going to sign Brad Hand. I think of the guys out there, he's the one I trust the most. Lefty arm. They don't have a ton of lefties in the bullpen. But more than anything, I'm very disappointed they did not have a general manager when you could have gotten him for a one-year $10 million deal. Like, done, over. You just could have claimed him. Disappointed that they were not firing on all cylinders. Thanks a lot, John Middleton, for that. But I'm still signing Brad Hand. He's my top target. But there's a lot of guys that, like – when you look at the free agent market at every position, it's somewhat light, except a relief pitcher. Like, there are guys out there. So I'm going for Brad Hand. I was going for Archie Bradley. I got him. And then I'm going for one other of these guys. I'm either going for Joakim Soria. Kirby Yates scares me a little bit in terms of how much I think he could get. I know it was horrible last year, but the year before was the best closer in baseball.
Well, and now MLB trade rumors had him at 1 year, $5 million.
Done. Yeah. All right, give me Kirby Yates. Yes. Done. So there you go. Give me Brad Hand. Give me Archie Bradley. Give me Kirby Yates. And my bullpen's a different thing. You know, it's a different thing. Other names that are out there, did Tyler Clippard. He's 36, but a great year last year. It was really good. Shane Green's a name I would be interested in.
I hate Tyler Clippard.
It's fine, but he gets outs.
It's not that he's not good, but.
I'm just talking about guys who are in their price range, who can come in and make a difference immediately. Like, for this specific team, I would take a guy like Clipper. But ultimately, as I said, give me Hand, give me Yates, give me Bradley. And then there are some flyer guys. Like, Ken Giles is going to be super cheap, man. Like, that guy's not going to cost anything right now. I'd take a flyer on Ken Giles. I know he sucked this year, but I'd take a flyer on Ken Giles. My point is, I'm getting – Bradley was one of them. It's already happened. But I'm getting two more guys in that bullpen who I can freaking trust on, man. A Brad Hand, a Soria, a Yates, whatever it is. I'm getting two more guys in that pen where I have Bradley and two other guys that I feel super confident in addition to Hector Neris, in addition to JoJo Romero, whatever, and then maybe a flyer on a Giles, a flyer on whatever. But my main goal this offseason, after signing JT and getting my lineup set, is I'm rebuilding this bullpen, and I'm getting guys who have pitched big innings in Major League Baseball. And guy, I know the reliever market is volatile, but you know what? Joakim Soria has been doing it for a damn long time.
Yeah.
Every freaking year, that guy's awesome. You know, like, get some guys you can count on. And I know injuries happen. Robertson is that type of guy. Like, the Robertson idea was the right idea. He just got hurt. You can't let that dissuade you from doing the right thing again. Go get some guys who can pitch in the bullpen. That's my awesome.
I mean, I like it. I'm a little disappointed that you did not trade for Taylor Widener. But outside of that, I liked it a lot. I don't know how it all works with, you know, there's a lot of names, and it's a lot of money, but you know, they have it. I think they have like $44 million to stay under the tax after the Archie Bradley signing. So
there you go. So $44 million. So you give
25 to JT.
Oh, yeah. So 25 to JT. Then if I'm giving 14 to Didi, I'm pretty much screwed already. You know what, John? Just go over the tax.
No.
Yeah. A very reasonable stuff. We're not talking about signing George Springer or whatever, and we still can't stay under.
Yeah. So they have – yeah. So right now they're at $156 million. That's before signing JT. So they'd have $48 million to spend if they want to stay under the tax. Or not, they want to stay at 200 under the payroll of last year, which is $204 million. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. At least the Archie signing shows that they're willing to spend some money to get better next year. So
yeah, that gives me some hope. They're actually going to sign guys for the bullpen.
Well, and they've been linked to some names. So I mean, I don't know. Benintendi, Semien, you know, Didi. They've been having talks with Didi and JT, this thing's starting to heat up a little bit over here, James.
I'm ready, man. Yes. I'm ready. I miss baseball.
I miss it so much. I just need it so much.
It's the thing I want most. And I'm watching stupid NBA games, stupid NHL games. I don't care. Like, just give me baseball.
Yes. Yeah. I just can't wait. I mean, February 17th is our first workout, so I mean, it's only a month and a half away, or month and 3 days away.
You're getting there, buddy. Getting there.
Almost there.
All right. So I just want to be good so bad, Jack. Like, I'm so tired of this.
We're getting closer.
All right. What's in the take bag, final thought bag, whatever you got left?
So I have two that I'm adding to it right off the jump. The other aspect of the Archie signing that I'm excited for, and I know this is very cynical, but I'm excited for the possibility, if they are out of it, to be able to trade him for an asset at the deadline. I mean, a one year $6 million deal, you should be able to trade that deadline for something, especially if he's good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question you could.
So you see what closers go for. So, and also, is he your closer or is Neris your closer?
As of right now, I would make Archie my closer. But again, I'm hoping to sign Brad Hand or someone I feel even more sure is my closer, or Kirby Yates. But look, just they brought in a guy who's closed games in Major League Baseball. He was 18 and 19, I think, if I'm not mistaken, when he was Diamondbacks closer. He got the job done. So I'd be very happy with that.
All right. Baseball America mock draft this week. Let's get excited. Like, everyone's talking about the sixth pick, and oh, it was Devontae Smith gonna fall. Who cares? The Phillies picked 13th. I don't know why people's priorities are completely out of line.
So just to show you, speaking of priorities and where they pick,
right?
My very first, when I first sat down and did the perfect offseason, again, back to the initial statement I said where I was like super bummed and I was like, oh, and that's got Lindor. And that's when we started talking about it, you know, doing it and stuff. That I almost sat down and said, Jack, my perfect offseason is being so bad that whoever you want for the number one pick in 2022 is the guy we get. Like, that was almost what I said.
Oh,
I was almost
come on.
Like, bottom out, tell me who I should be looking for in the 2022 draft. Luckily, we're past.
Yeah, honestly, like, you bring up the Lindor trade, and I get it. I don't know. I just have such tunnel vision that I only care about the Phillies that I don't even, like, focus on what the other teams are doing. Like, I'm trying to figure out ways to make my baseball team better.
I love it.
So the Baseball America mock draft had the Phillies taking Andrew Painter at 13. It seems like he's been linked to them a lot. Maybe that's kind of the word around the industry. Another high school, high upside kind of arm like McAbel. I think McAbel's better, but those guys are about the same caliber. So that would be exciting. I'd be in on Andrew Painter. So I have this thought. Like, when you watched the Saints game over the weekend versus the Bears, did you watch it on Nickelodeon or did you watch it on CBS?
So I watched some of it on Nickelodeon.
Like, baseball needs to figure out how to get some baseball games on Nickelodeon.
Please, dude, be fun.
Like, and just especially, you know, and they're explaining the game and they're doing like this guy's favorite cartoon and whatnot. It's just such an easy way to explain to the next generation. And ultimately, the only way baseball survives, and it's going to survive because it's the best sport ever, but is if it gets passed down generation to generation. And it's just like there were so many parents that were talking about how their kids loved watching the game on Nickelodeon. And ultimately, it can attract eyeballs to the sport that it needs to attract eyeballs to. So I hope the MLB execs were paying attention to the conversation around the game on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I'm so with you, man. It's a great point. It's exactly the kind of thing baseball needs. You're so right. Like, whatever baseball can do to find ways to appeal to younger viewers is what it must do.
Yeah, it's the most important thing that this baseball team can do. Does this quote sound like a future commissioner of baseball? We need to find a way to get more action in the game, get the ball and play more often, allow players to show their athleticism some more, and give the fans more of what they want. Does that sound like a general manager to you, James?
You talking about commissioner?
Commissioner,
yeah.
Yes.
Is it Theo?
It is Theo, who is hired.
Yeah, buddy.
He's so going to be the next commissioner of baseball.
Lock it in.
Loves the sport.
He's perfect. He's the perfect guy for it.
He really
is. Perfect guy for it. But respected on both sides of the aisle, like smart, young enough where he can, you know, kind of have some longevity in the role. It is the all-time no-brainer, especially when we consider that Rob Manfred is the worst commissioner in the history of the sport. Like, get that guy out of here. I generally am not a guy who cares too much about commissioners in sports. Rob Manfred is a disaster. Like, this guy has to go yesterday. I'm so out on Rob Manfred. So Theo is like a dream. I'll take most people over Rob Manfred.
Yeah, but Theo is obviously would be a great choice, and I think he's aiming towards it. And I'm looking forward to Theo overseeing baseball. Two other general baseball things before the other one, but. Again, baseball's talking about a freaking neutral site World Series, and I just couldn't hate it more. I hate the idea of you're not creating the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. I want to see if players can handle the pressure of the World Series in an opposing ballpark. That is all I want. That's my favorite part of baseball, is seeing if guys can crumble under the pressure. And the idea of a neutral site World Series is just disgusting, and I need them to stop with this idea because I just cannot hate it more. I just hate it.
I agree with you, and I thought this year in particular was like, it's supposed to be a bubble for the World Series and then you let fans in. So it's like, well, that was stupid. Like, you may as well just played it wherever. Like, yeah, I'm very with you. Not a fan.
It's just, it's not the sport that we grew up watching. I mean, legendary World Series moments happen in ballparks all over the country, and it's just something that is special to baseball. And I just, to try to maximize profits again and like have opposing fan bases fly to one area is just, it's just awful. I hate it. I hate it. I hate the idea of a neutral site World Series. But either way, the other thing that baseball is talking about doing is having a universal DH for all 30 teams. But when the starting pitcher is removed, teams lose the DH for the rest of the game. And James, as a long anti-DH guy, I love this rule.
Yes, we did it. We found the thing that works. And as a longtime DH guy, the opposite side of you, I love this too. All I ever wanted, to be fair, and I preferred the DH, but ultimately I just wanted both leagues to be the same. That was my biggest thing. I thought it was ridiculous that a sport could have two leagues where you have different rules. But I think this is absolutely the best outcome. Like, I think it solves all the problems, right? It fixes my problem not wanting to watch pitchers bat and the stupidity, all that and stuff like that. And it fixes your problem of wanting the strategy and the fun, you know, aspect that brings to the game. Like, it really solves all the problems.
And another underrated aspect of it is that it could help let starters go deeper into ball games, you know?
For sure.
Like, if it becomes such a disadvantage, whatever, take guys out, like, maybe you train your starters to go deeper into games and we have more starter showdowns.
It's the kind of thing that could change baseball.
Well, and that's why I didn't like the outrage over the three batter minimum rules, because I wanted to create and develop more relievers that can do both rather than just specialists. So
yeah, I'm with you.
So
I think
that would be an aspect. And again, late inning strategy of figuring out what to do, it's fun to me. It's fun to me when I'm filling out a card and all that stuff. So it was part of me that was taken away last year. I thought it was a nice addition in extra innings for what they did with the extra innings rule. It added an element of strategy to the game. And ultimately, it needs more strategy. It needs to be more thinking. The NL was always the thinking man's league. The morons in the AL, anyone could manage in the American League. So, yeah, I like this role. I like having starters hopefully go deeper into ball games, and I think it would help speed up the game too. So, all in on this idea, and I hope baseball does it.
I love it. I do too. I'm very, very, very in on it. You got anything else?
I do not. Happy Archie Bradley Day.
It feels good things happen on Thursday.
Yes, good things happen on Thursday. And I already can't wait to see what their next move is.
Me too, man. I'm excited. It feels like things are finally starting to happen. And I mean, they should be. It's January. See, we're getting there. Spring training's around the corner, but I'm with you. You got any final thoughts, Fritzy?
I do not have any final thoughts. Baseball's getting closer. I missed this podcast, and we won't do it again. We won't do the podcast again.
No, we'll be back next week is what he's trying to say.
We won't take a 3-week hiatus.
Yeah. We earned it. You know, there's a lot going on. It's been a crazy, crazy couple weeks. Things that I never thought in my life would ever happen have happened in the last week. So I'm gonna give us a pass, Jeff.
Yeah.
Give us a pass.
Yep.
All right. We will be back absolutely sooner than 3 weeks. Until then, he's Fritz himself. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.